Isaiah 38. Isaiah, I had a note passed me that Pastor Mark hit the middle of Darlene. Raise right there. I see you right there. And Brother Dan, Joe's kids. Brother Dan's so sick. I love him. And I love these people. They serve the Lord, pastoring in Illinois. And Darlene, Brother Tim and you went to kindergarten together, right? Is that right? You're a pastor's wife. He's a pastor. And did Michelle, I was talking to Brother Godfrey, Michelle Florendo, is she in your class as well? She's a pastor's wife. I just saw her preaching last week somewhere. And we're glad you're here. If you want to talk to Brother Mark afterwards, they not only have a good church and a great family, but they're big in printing Bibles for worldwide missions. It is an amazing, amazing ministry out there in the thicket. And we thank God for you. And I'm so glad you're here. Let's read our scripture together tonight. Have we stood for a while? Let's stand, shall we? That'll keep you awake a few more minutes here. Isaiah 38, and let's read verses 1 through 9 together. Isaiah 38, the compatible text to this, if you want to write it in your Bible there somewhere, is 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 6. But we'll use this text, Isaiah 38, 1 through 9. Let's read it together, and let's try to stay together at the commas and periods that's pausing there. Ready? Begin.
In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him, and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die, and not live. And Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he has spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down from the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backwards. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down.
Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, again, we pray for this service and the children's service and the Spanish service tonight. God, your touch would be felt. I thank you for that trio song this evening. We thank you about heaven. And as the Spanish department, they're hearing about heaven tonight. I pray you'd bless that service. And then our children as they're being taught and instructed in paths of righteousness. And then, Lord, to hear Brother Chuck sing that good song. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I'm so thankful we have a place called church that it still feels like church. And I pray that tonight as we begin and embark on this Bible study over the next many weeks now, that it'd be such a blessing and help us in our prayer life especially. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I imagine you're like me. It really doesn't take a lot to move me into some situations of life. The Lord's given my wife and I, 13 grandkids, 9 are away from us and live in other places and 4 are here. And we want to go see them sometime in the near future. I don't know when we're trying to. And I miss those kids so much. And then we have those 4 little special kids right here. But you know, they don't have to say very much. Once in a while they'll call on the phone, they're Christian school, they're having a readathon or a candy sale or something, and I'll immediately say, yeah, I'd kind of like to get a case of that. I will never eat a case of chocolate. The kids will say, Papa, could you do this? I'd be glad to do this. How many of you are grandparents in this room tonight? How many of you are cheapskates when it comes to be a grandparent? Yeah, that's what I thought. How many are like me? It doesn't take very much at all. Well, I tell you what, I mean, all they have to do is, Papa, and I'm wilting, I'm ready to go. Bring me the checkbook, I'll write the check. And it's a thrill. I'm not perfect at this. I try as a pastor to do that. I know I fail at it, but if you need me to do something, I'll try to do it. I'll try. I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but you're my sheep. And if you'll tell me, I don't know if they're there tonight, but we have a new prayer card. It might be there Sunday. And so it just says prayer request. And I want you to write it down. I'll do my best. If I tell you, I'll pray for it. I'll do my best to pray for you in that endeavor. And I want you to know that it doesn't take much. It doesn't take much. My wife has said, I'd like to. Well, I take that. Let's go do it then. Let's go do it. We'll use your money, but let's go do it. That's how God is. I'm overwhelmed through the Bible. I've looked at the Bible. I'm overwhelmed. I'd like to go 9, 10, 12 weeks on this. I'll probably cut that in half and merge some together. But it's an amazing thing that God gives us different avenues how to move his heart. I'm not speaking, I have a book out on prayer years ago about how all the different ways to get in a building, and there's fasting, and there's church prayer, and there is all night prayer. But I am talking about moving the heart of God. I want God's heart to be moved, because I want the blessings of God on my life and on your life and on your children and your family's life. I want it to be in an environment where I'm in a place where you say, God's doing something. God's showering down his blessings. And so tonight, I look at this text, and we're going to look at the subject of how to move the heart of God. And this will not be lengthy tonight, but I do want you to see with me. The Bible says Hezekiah, verse number 2, turned his face to the wall and he prayed. Why did he pray? Because God said you're going to die in verse 1. Set your house in order. And I just want to give a prelude before we get into our Bible study. I hope every single person here has made preparation for your final day on earth. I hope you have a will. And if you don't have a will, many of you, a trust, and you ought to read and study. What is a trust? I'm not able to give you advice about that, but I do know that you definitely want to look at a trust with taxes. And there's men in this church and ladies that could tell you a lot more than I could tell you about that. So I'm not giving you the advice, but you better look at something. You young couples that have children, you better look right now. Do you have a will that says, okay, in event of both of our deaths, the children go to, and you get that person to commit and his wife to commit, we would like to raise those kids on your behalf. If you should die, we want to raise those kids for you. And it ought to be a spiritual meeting where you sit down and say, if you take our kids, what we're talking about, we'd like our kids to be brought up in Sunday school. And Sunday morning, and Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and a church that has old King James Bible, and preaching, and singing, and out of a hymn book, and not rock and roll bands. That's what we desire for our family. Have you set your house in order? Have you set in order? And I'm not trying to be rude right now, and I'm not trying to be humorous right now, but in every church there are some, and I'm not being humorous, there are some that are hoarders. You ought to deal with that right now. Don't leave that mess to your kids. Deal with it. Grow up, be mature. I led a husband and wife to Christ some years ago. They're both with the Lord. And I'll never forget going in their living room I guess it was no furniture in there. They had stacks of newspaper from floors to ceiling, just stacks, and you wound your way back in that. That's crazy. Well, I got this syndrome. No, you're just lazy. Well, I got this syndrome. No, that's dirty. Deal with it. Why put your wife or your husband on? Thank you for getting me off on that subject. Set your house in order. Set your finances in order. Who in your family can sign on your checkbook in case of your death? Somebody's got to be able to. Who can take care of those things? Set your house in order. I've asked our members, and so often I go to their files, and when they pass away or their wedding, I just go to their file and look at their file, the letters and the cards and the notes through the years they've given me. And many times they'll have written there, my favorite song is this, my favorite scripture is this, I was saved on this date, that was the event a year ago next month that I'd read my dad's file that I had, and how he went to church in a little buggy pulled by a white horse as he went to God's house. And he talked about his salvation, 1932, when he got saved. My goodness, what a blessing, what a comfort that was. Set your house in order. Are your bills paid? Set your house in order. Figure this thing out. And he said, you're going to die. And the Bible says, remember now, Lord, I beseech thee, I have walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart. I've walked before you with a perfect heart. And Hezekiah wept sore. And verse 5, go and say to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy what? I've heard your prayer. And here it is. Here's how to move the heart of God. I have seen thy what? Tears. And I'm not talking about the fact that we just need to be a fountain of emotion. But even according to Mr. Webster, that tears is overwhelming emotion as a result of sorrow, or it could be joy, but generally sorrow, concern, anguish. What is it that has your heart? I have some prayer requests today in my life, and as I pray in the morning hours and I pray throughout the day for these, some of them are so far out there that it's just so much hurt as I see that thing. It's way out there. I can't do anything about it. I'm so burdened about some things right now in my life, and you are too. I think I'm more burdened about issues of life and things of life and people in life that I've invested more today than I've ever been. I'm watching this huge, fast, quick shift. You know, a man used to compromise and he'd just call himself he was no longer an independent Baptist. Not now. People stand up after the rock band, after the praise team, after the online singers or the frontline singers, whatever they call it, and after the little ditty of going to church, and I say, thank God for old-time religion. It's not old-time religion. It's new-time junk. And here, I weep over these people that I love and preachers I love, and I watch them drift, and I'm thinking, what in the world? I see their names. Our kids are all grown. I'll tell you what, it's more burden on my heart now when they're grown than when they were young. I'm burdened for them now, but I mean, they're on their own. They're not calling 911. Hey, Dad, what do we do here? They're making decisions. My grandkids, we're not touching them. We're not seeing them. They're gone. I'm not talking gone spirits. I'm just away from us. Only God can do what God can. I pray, as I pray in the morning, I'm praying for those little Thompson kids, 4 of the 5 go to school. I pray they'd have school teachers that are holy and godly and righteous and pure and clean hearts, and a youth pastor that will just guide them in paths of righteousness. And I pray for Tim's little family and their homeschooled and their great needs they have. And I pray for the kids that are here in our Christian school. Oh my goodness, it's sometimes overwhelming. I look at some of God's people and I see God's people so faithful, so dedicated, and then I see some, it's so casual. Well, that's a 3-day weekend. We got to get out of here again, get rested. So we got to go party all weekend. I can't comprehend that. My heart breaks. You mean you're taking your kids out of God's house? We don't need less of God. We need more of God. Want to go out of town for 3 days, go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, come back Wednesday night? I mean, do it on that time. Don't do it on God's time. Sunday is a holy day, not a holiday. And God saw, he looked and he saw these men, this man's tears. God sees your sorrow. Don't you get moved when you pray sometimes in tears? I was pondering the other day, I was driving down one of the freeways outside of our area, and you know, up and down this state of ours, it's Highway 1 or Highway 101 or Highway 99 or Highway 5, north and south. And you got all these going east and west, not very many, but you got some. And I was thinking, as I thought of this so many times, is sometimes I'll get done in a meeting 4 hours away from here, and I always drive those meetings. And I get done and on a night preaching, and I get in the car about 9 o'clock. I said, now, Lord, I've got 4 hours. I got thinking about all these roads I've traveled, and there's some nights I've traveled those roads, no radio on, just weeping. I said, God, I think I've wept up and down these freeways, up and down I-5, when it's so impossible to do it, what needs to be done. A 101 or 99 or whatever it might be, 152 and 580 and 680 and 280. I think all those roads, I can honestly say, I've wept as I've driven so many times. God, please intervene. It's too big. I can't do it. God, there's no ability in man. God, would you please, please. God sees our tears. Not many times, but a few times in our marriage, I'm certain. I remember a couple times making my wife weep. It broke my heart. I didn't have to wait. I can't remember. It's probably I didn't wash the dishes and she yelled at me and I yelled back or something. You know how, I don't know what it was. Probably wasn't a big thing, but she's not a weeper. And immediately I said, well, I'm so sorry. Don't cry. Don't, please don't do that. Please. I'll never forget when our niece was killed, 23. And I saw my wife weep and just held her real close. Don't the tears of your people that you love break your heart? You weep with them that weep. You mourn with them that mourn. Jeremiah, what was he known as? The what prophet? The weeping prophet. I know sometimes someone will say, what's wrong with you, pastors? You preach and so many times you just cry and you weep. How can you not weep? How can you not look at this country of ours and not weep? Our homes are a tragic mess. Our kids, you don't find kids like this in America. Very rare. Kids that have respect and dignity. I was talking to college this morning, preaching our high school kids. There's every single high school kid in this school of ours could go to interview a job, and they would know how to be appropriate and know how to speak and know how to be polite and know how to get the job. You go to some of these places, you order something, and it's like, I mean, it's grunting. Say, can you say hello? Can you acknowledge? Can you be a happy camper on the pathway of life? But they don't have a lot to be happy about, do they? Jeremiah was that weeping prophet. I want you to turn with me to authenticate what I'm talking about over here in John chapter 11. I don't know how you want to move the heart of God, but I do know that tears are a language God understands. I'd encourage you to come with a heart that's so tender and so ready. You say, well, I've never cried in my life. Well, start. Watch the Waltons. Oh, no. I mean, watch something on TV. I mean, get moved about something, ladies and gentlemen. Notice in John 11, we know the shortest verse in the Bible, verse 35. What does it say? Ready? Jesus wept. Why did he weep? Why did he weep? Wasn't for Lazarus. Why did he weep? Because Lazarus' sisters were weeping and the Jews were weeping. And weeping moved the heart of God. The Bible says in verse 31, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. In verse 32, when Mary was come where Jesus was, she saw him. And she fell at his feet, said unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. And when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit, was troubled. But when was the last time you literally could say, I groaned in my spirit? Brother Godfrey could tell you about these fields of the world. It was the last time you groaned in your spirit. They're lost. These people in that country are lost. They have no hope of eternal life. They're lost. They'll spend eternity in hell. I received a missionary letter. I get the missionary letters after Brother Poussin has read them and come across my desk. I saw one today, and a young man, much younger than I, and he's going through chemotherapy, a missionary going through chemotherapy. Doesn't that move your heart? To think that here's a man who went to Bible college perhaps, and he's gone to college, and he's prepared, and he got married, and had kids, and now he's on the field, and he's serving God in that country that needs the gospel so badly, and there he is, and now has to come home for chemotherapy. Doesn't that move your heart? Doesn't it move your heart when you see somebody's son or daughter backslide? And see that mother so full of anguish and sorrow. Perhaps you could, through the day or the night hour, say, Lord, I saw that lady, that man in church. I know their heart is grieving over their son. I know their heart is grieving over their daughter. I know their heart is grieving over the divorce of their son or daughter. That's not what they planned. I would suggest you never throw rocks at one person with their family and the condition of their family. You don't know all the devils fought against that family. That preacher ought to know better. Maybe his kids weren't turned out like that. He had not been such a hard. Don't stop thinking you know all the answers. Maybe the old devil went after that preacher's kid. Maybe the old devil went at it, and I know he does. Here's a family lives for God, loves God, and then this son or their daughter gets away from God. Oh, don't you rejoice in the fact that, they probably, and you know all the answer why things went wrong. You don't know anything. Be careful about being judgmental. Our Lord, he saw these ladies and he saw those Jews, and they're weeping. and he wept. And the Bible says the shortest verse so we can get it in our mind, because his ministry was built off, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. I love the name of that street right out there where all those nearly 30 bus routes run up and down, called Compassion Lane. This needs to be a church full of compassion. We see these homes. We see the lives of these people. We see the condition of our country and this world. Doesn't it move you? Doesn't it hurt? You hear someone has cancer? I mean, that very word, cancer. Doesn't it hurt you? Happened to me this week. Somebody, their sweet loved one has dementia. That hurts you for them, that they're going through that heartache with their mother or their dad. Doesn't it hurt when you hear they have Alzheimer's? I could thank the Lord that both my parents that recently passed away were pretty good. I can recall the day that I went to see my mother, and she said, "Now, who are you?" I went and saw my dad one day after mother had passed away, and he goes, "I know you." I said, "Who am I?" He said, "You're my doctor." You know, things like that hurt. It wasn't his fault. Can't you see? I go in these rest homes. Doesn't that bother you? I'm not talking about they're bad people that are there, or bad situations, or people just dump them off. Some are there because they need 24-hour care. I know. Doesn't it hurt you to just see them sitting in wheelchairs in some cases, not all cases, but just sitting there? Cannot feed themselves. Charles Roush, who's a member of this church, started coming in 1977. He and I are 4 months apart in age. He's been in that wheelchair since about 1969 or 70. And some of you care for him so very much, and you take care of him when he comes. And that special bus brings him every Sunday, and I know he drools and all that, and I know all that. But Charles, if it wasn't for this church, would never, ever receive a birthday gift in April. And if it wasn't for this church, would never receive a Christmas gift. He's a person. Don't get him candy or gum. He's diabetic. That's a person. And I'm talking about, I've seen him get transferred from this hospital, this rest home, to this care facility, to this house. He's somebody. Our Lord wept. Turn with me in closing over here to Job 16 tonight. I think that's one of the things that made Brother Bobby Robertson such a special man. He had tears of compassion for people. Job was going through quite a time in his life. And the Bible says, my friends, I want you to look at this verse 20. My friends scorn me, but my eye poureth out tears unto God. For some reason, God has given me the privilege to be awake a lot at night. I've wandered out to the garage so many times and prayed there for long periods of time. I've wandered downstairs and just sat down and prayed and asked God, would you please, and poured my complaint, my heart out to God. And Job, everything, he lost his wife and his family, his possessions. And the Bible says that his tears came before God. If you don't know how to cry, I'd ask God to give you the ability to learn how to weep. Weep o'er the erring one. He that goeth forth weepeth, bearing precious seed. God wants us to weep about the bus route. I know how to put big numbers back on your bus route. Weep over them. Just weep over them. Weep over these teenagers that God to keep them right, to keep them clean, to keep them pure, that live right. Weep over these college students that didn't marry right and serve God right. Weep over the preachers in America. Weep over God's people. Weep over the heathen. We have that song. I brought its words here. Often you wondered why tears come into your eyes. Burdens seem to be much more than you can stand. But God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language God understands. God sees the tears of a broken-hearted soul. He sees your tears, and He hears them when they fall. God weeps along with man, and He takes him by the hand. For tears are a language God understands. Have you ever been so overwhelmed? It's like you can't get the words out, but you can get the tears out. When your father and mother forsake you, and when they say, I don't want any part of your life, and when your mate walks out, and when things don't go the way you want them to go, and all you have left is, God, I've just poured out my heart to you. That second stanza says, when grief has left you low and causes tears to flow, and things have not turned out the way that you planned, but God won't forget you. His promises are true. Tears are a language God understands. Our Father, I love these people so much.